This program is sponsored by Walter Anderson Nursery.
If you have a green thumb or have always wanted one, then get ready for Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery, hosted by Ken Anderson, along with David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman. Garden Talk aims to introduce new ideas, help solve problems, and keep you up to date on the latest developments in the nursery and landscaping industry. Call in now with your gardening questions. 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. Now, here are your Garden Talk hosts, Ken, David, Mark, and George.
Good morning, San Diego. Listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. I'm Ken Anderson along with David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman. We're going to be here for the next hour talking to you about all kinds of stuff going on in your yard and garden. Good morning, guys.
Good morning, fellas. How are you?
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you guys?
David, you were mentioning how light it was this morning.
I thought I was late again. I thought it was 6 or 7 o'clock, not 6 o'clock.
Yeah,
it was bright out.
It was bright this morning.
What's going on?
I don't know.
I think we're approaching the longest day of the year. Another 10 days?
Yeah, something like that.
Yep.
Yeah. It's coming up fast.
Then we go the other way.
And it's all downhill.
And it's all downhill.
So what?
What was the finger for? You're wagging your finger.
I was wagging a finger, but we'll
doing the foam finger thing. I don't know what that was.
Exactly.
I'll tell you
number
later.
One. Right.
No, but the longest day... Cadence, the Gardens at Cadence, or Cadence at the Gardens, they're having their fundraiser, which is the longest day. Did you guys happen to notice there was no moon this morning. Did you notice that?
No.
I did.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did you see it last night at sunset or after sunset?
I did not.
With Venus in its corner?
Nope.
You know why it's important?
No, why?
Because some say that planting during proper phases of the moon will help increase your success.
Some people like the old farmer's almanac, right?
Yeah. And what do they know? So we're coming in, as we're in the new moon, and we're coming up to, we're headed into a full moon. It's time to start planting your annual flowers and fruit and vegetables that bear crops above ground.
Do you subscribe to that? Have you always planted by cycles of the moon? Because I haven't.
When do I plant, George?
Sometimes never. You just leave them in the
container. when the time cometh, that is when I plant. And I'm not going to check the phases of the moon, although I do remember having a conversation with my sister many, many moons ago. Get it, many moons ago, when she was up at Humboldt State and she planted her onions. She had to wait. No, her potatoes during the proper phase of the moon, which I rolled my eyes at her, as you are doing to me now.
Farmer Roy has that. I was up there a couple weeks ago chatting with him, and he has a special day. I think it's February 23rd. Don't quote me, but like for peppers, he does all this stuff. You know, I'll do it this week, but I have to plant my peppers on February 23rd.
It's
just a superstitious thing that he does. Yeah.
Well, next time we get him on the air, we'll have to ask him about that. Hopefully. Well, I don't think he's going to, but he should call and talk to us more about their longest day fundraiser. We sent them a tree and a gift certificate last week.
Well, I know we sent him a gift certificate.
We sent him a fruit tree, too.
Yeah.
Well, he picked it up, but...
That's fine.
I don't even plant peppers until June. In my house, they just sit there, for the first 2 months, and they don't really do much. And then when it starts to heat up, they take off.
Well... I harvested some peppers yesterday during the 4% waxing moon cycle, and I got some of the pretty colored ones that I thought would match up with the bag I got at Costco.
Uh-huh.
And they were almost as pretty, but they didn't taste as good. And then I got one of the yellow banana peppers, you know, the sweet banana peppers?
Yeah.
It weren't sweet.
Not yet.
Yeah, not yet.
Oh, no. It was a hot pepper. I don't know what it was, but I took a big bite out of it and almost choked.
You don't like it when the labels get changed. Oh.
Now, Mark, you said you plant your peppers in June. Today's the 12th of June.
Yes, it is.
So are you planting your peppers yet, or have you?
Well, I haven't yet.
There's still more June to come, correct?
Yes.
And you didn't say when in June.
No, I didn't. But
it's
I mean, typically, he recognized where we were on the calendar.
I've
done it much earlier, March or April.
How about the
20? They just literally just, they don't do anything.
Yeah,
for me.
I planted some a few weeks ago, and they're not doing bad, but they're just
right.
They're
sit
just
there.
Not.
I agree.
Growing very much, but I did find one thing out.
What?
I went and fertilized everything the other day, just walking around with a bag of triple 16, throwing stuff all over the place, and threw a bunch into the peppers. You know what happens when you leave triple 16 on the foliage of peppers?
I'll bet it burns the heck out of it.
Do you get little spots everywhere, right? like hail damage?
Yeah, you got that right. So anyway, the plants are fine, but it's just going to take them a little while. But now that they've got the triple 16, they should put out some new foliage quickly.
Just so we're clear here, you go out and sprinkle your fertilizer, but don't water it in?
No, I did water it in. I just didn't hose it off enough to get it off of the foliage.
Sorry. That seems kind of contradictory, but I got you. You watered the soil to push it into the ground. I got you. I didn't laugh out loud just then,
yes,
did I?
Yeah, you did.
I'm sorry. That was mean-spirited.
You thought you were hitting the mute button?
I did. I did.
If you would like to give us a call today, 888-344-1170 is the number. I had a customer the other day. I ran into him. I was waiting on another customer and finished up with that customer, and there was another customer there who grabbed my attention, and we were out by the citrus, and she said, "Do you have bergamot?" And I said, "Are you talking about the herb?" And she said, "No, the citrus." And I said, "No." I said, I haven't heard of that before." So it got me curious. So I went and looked it up. And sure enough, there is a bergamot citrus. And it's they think it may be a hybrid between lemon and bitter orange. And it's used in the fragrance industry.
Huh. So I'm not familiar with
that. I had never heard of it before.
Of course, there's a lot of things I'm not familiar
and
with.
They said it's commonly confused with citrus hystrix, which we do have.
Right.
But they use it in, it's native to southern Italy. Production is mostly limited to the Ionian Sea coastal areas of province of Reggio di Calabria. Oh, I know right where that is. To such an extent that it is a symbol of the entire city. Most of the bergamot comes from a short stretch of land there where the temperature is favorable. Fruit is also produced in Argentina, Brazil, Algeria, the Ivory Coast, Morocco, Tunisia, Turkey, and Southeast Asia. Commercially grown in southern Calabria.
I thought that was up by Hearst Castle.
Calabria?
You're thinking of Cambria.
Close. So you said citrus hystrix. What would our customers know that as?
Caffer lime.
Yeah. But you don't. That's one citrus that you don't use. You don't use the fruit.
Typically, yeah.
You just use the leaves.
You just use the foliage. Yeah. And the foliage just smells incredibly good. Mm-hmm. I mean, it has a really good.
We actually have them in stock.
We do have them for the first time in months.
Yeah, right. A long time.
Melanie does a pot roast with citrus hystrix in it that is just. Huh. Outstanding. It's really, really good. I'll have to have her publish the
for more recipes.
I'll have to have her put the recipe in one of the newsletters.
Yes.
In case you were wondering, 100 bergamot oranges yield about 3 ounces of bergamot oil.
I was wondering that, and I appreciate you getting to it without me having to ask.
I figured you were.
Now, when you said the place where it's from, the something to Reggio. Mm-hmm. And you said, "I know right where that was."
I was kidding.
I thought you might have been, but it also could be that you were there once, and I wasn't sure.
Well,
not that you recall.
Not that I remember.
Okay. There's such a fine line.
And then, I guess you can use it for marmalade too.
People still make marmalade?
I don't know.
I mean,
isn't that a song?
I don't.
My marmalade or.
Lady Marmalade.
Lady Marmalade.
So she sang it.
Thank you.
I was also going to say Paddington the Bear likes marmalade, so I mean, he's still popular.
Oh, I didn't know that either.
There you go.
We had somebody that worked for us. I can't remember who it was that used to make marmalade all the time. And I can't remember if they made it out of calamundins or if they made it out of
kumquats.
I think it must have been kumquats. Yeah, because calamundins are incredibly sour.
They make a great lime for an adult beverage.
They're good in alcoholic beverages. Yes.
Yeah. Yes. The other one that's really good in alcoholic beverages, which you can't get anymore, is Rangpur.
Yeah.
Rangpur.
You know where to find them.
Yeah.
I know where there's one.
I do too. Hopefully it's still there.
Yeah, but nobody. Well, it was a couple of weeks ago.
It is.
Yeah, because I had to get the scale under control that was on it. So
did you?
Yeah. I'm trying to.
Okay, so now for those horticultural oil, what was your scale thing? How did you
oil?
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. The non-toxic horticultural oil takes care of everything.
I use non-toxic means to control a gopher. I was successful finally. You know the one that I've been battling under my pong con?
Oh, yeah? You finally got it?
I got one. We'll see. Parts of one, actually.
What did you trapped it?
Maccabee.
Maccabee? Okay. Maccabee.
Old-fashioned Maccabee.
You know, that is a
time.
That is a time, like yeah. you said, a time.
It's been around over 100 years.
One. They're a little tricky to set.
Yeah, they can take you. They can hurt you if you're not careful.
But they're extremely effective.
They are.
And what's the other one that we've got?
The black box?
No.
The gopher hawk.
Yeah. I know people in the Ramona Valley Vineyard Association
have good luck with that.
Gopher hawks. They use them all the time.
Did you get one?
I've gotten a couple with the gopher hawk. Yep.
I guess the toughest part about that is finding where
the correct tunnel to put it in, the active run, poke the hole into it to
get it in there.
And my excuse for not using that, in addition to not having one, this tunnel was going under my driveway. It was right at the edge of the driveway, so it would have been tough to drive the gopher hawk through it.
Through your driveway?
It was easy to slide the Maccabee into the tunnel.
Gotcha.
Fair enough.
Okay, that's the end of that story. And I did try a newfangled one. Somebody's trying to build a better gopher trap. And
we're always looking for a better gopher trap.
It failed on this mission, and it was a complete failure. It was a, what do we call it when the whole structure falls apart? It was a catastrophic failure.
Was it a material failure? The metal or something broke?
And I take partial responsibility. Well, it was all so backed up with dirt. I grabbed the cable that came attached to it, and I just yanked it until it came out. And when it came out of the hole,
most of it was left there.
It was in a different arrangement than when it went into the hole. Yeah. Anyway, sorry. Please.
No problem. Yeah. Let's see.
Ladies and gentlemen, David Ross.
Yes.
We got some interesting stuff in yesterday from one of our favorite growers who grows some really bizarre things.
Well, that is a great tease. And if they want to find out about that stuff, no, not quite yet. I was going to don't tell them about it yet.
Oh, we got a couple of minutes yet.
But
before we get into the long list of stuff that we have to talk about on that. Well, actually, we can start talking about some of it. String of turtles. Very popular plant these days in
which I don't understand, I guess.
It's a cool looking. Yeah. It's a cool looking.
Yeah,
plant.
I guess
kinda,
so.
It kind of looks like a rosary vine.
Yeah.
String of hearts, but it's glossier, and I think the leaves are a little bit thicker. We got some of those in. People like that is something that's become popular.
It's one of those plants
that the plant influencers
are
pushing. We got some nice ficus petiolaris. Those are in 4-inch. We got some ficus palmeris
in
5 gallons, big ones.
Good.
So those
you'll get some of those.
Those
on
are
Monday.
Coming.
Yeah,
down.
I was going to say because Ruben, I'm sure Ruben will need some.
They are. Nice.
They're good. Really nice.
They're really well formed, have big codexes on them, and
okay, good.
Very nice foliage too.
We got some ficus religiosa, some more ficus religiosas in.
And I brought you some of those to take down.
Which is one of my favorite ficus trees.
That's the one that Buddha sat under, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
My favorite ficus is probably like a Black Mission or a Violette de Bordeaux.
I was gonna say something you can eat.
An edible one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it Damari? The one with the giant leaf they used to have the theater at SeaWorld.
Yeah, there was a huge one at SeaWorld. And then I've got the Roxburghii in my backyard that I sent you guys a picture of a few weeks ago. It's got the big foliage on it. It's not as big as Damaropsis, but it's still.
That's a It's an impressive looking tree. What about do we still have the clown fig at the Point Loma store?
We do.
Has anyone taken any cuttings? And
yeah, we have. Okay. Pretty sure. Well, yeah, we. Now that you say that, I have to double check that. But I think, Dale was doing it. Obviously, he's not there anymore. But I think.
Please
I'll have
look
to double
check. We'll
I will.
Into that.
Now that you say that, I have to double check.
If you want to, you're listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. If you want to give us a call, 888-344-1170 is the number. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with more right after this.
Get your gardening questions answered by calling 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. There is more Garden Talk on the way. Welcome back to Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery. Got a gardening question? Call 888-344-1170. 888-344-1170. Now, here's your hosts, Ken Anderson, David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
Got to the garden party, they all knew my name. No one recognized me, I didn't look the same. But it's all right now, I learned my lesson well. You see, you can't please everyone, so you got to please yourself.
And we're back with more Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. I'm Ken Anderson along with David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman. Oh, and a very happy birthday to Mark.
Oh, well, thank you very much. It's nice of you.
Hope you have a nice day today.
Oh, I will.
Well, how could it not be a great day after starting it off like this with us?
That is the truth.
There you go.
Can only...
Only...
Just continue.
I don't know. No, it'll be,
it can only continue.
Correct.
One of the other plants that came in, a couple other things. We got Phocaea edulis, which grows a huge caudex.
Right.
Most of what this nursery grows are caudiciform plants, things that have
large
bases to them. We had some, I did see some, it's on the list here. We had some 1 gallon adeniums that came in. I don't know, those didn't come from them, did they? But they're beautiful.
Yeah.
Really.
Desert rose, yeah, I love those plants.
Really nice, and easy full bloom.
Yeah, they're easy. Well, what colors did you get?
I know there was yellow.
Oh wow,
and pink. And there's yellow.
Yeah, I saw a couple in pink and bloom. I think yesterday when I was out there.
Yeah, we. I don't know if we've gotten any in, but I love that plant. And so easy. The problem, I actually have one in my backyard, but I think it just stays. I don't know what happens, but it stays too wet. And I don't even water it, but the thing lost leaves. But when it's in flower, it's gorgeous.
Yeah, it is. It's a pretty plant. And I remember when the only color you could get was pinkish red.
Right.
And that was it. But there's a lot of other colors that are out.
Correct.
That are out now. Another really interesting plant that we got in is the bonsai begonia. It's a begonia that has a really thick trunk on it, but the foliage looks like a maple leaf. So it actually looks like little miniature maple tree.
I'm not familiar with that.
It does.
I don't remember seeing that.
I don't. I need to go look at that. I didn't see it yesterday.
It's a really neat plant. And then for a plant with some really interesting foliage, we got in some Jatropha multifida.
Okay.
And it looks like
a thread leaf Aurelia
or a manihot.
Yes.
Tapioca. That's what I thought it was at first. I thought it was tapioca, but it's not.
Yeah. Agreed.
Jatropha multifida. And then if you like really spiny things, we got some.
And who doesn't?
We got some Senegal acacias, and it's got kind of a papery bark to it, but it has really long thorns on the on the branches. But it also has extremely fine foliage. The foliage looks it's green, but it looks like Acacia baileyana.
Oh wow! Okay,
they're really fine. Fine foliage, and I don't know if that's the same acacia that's outside the food court
at the zoo
at the wild animal park.
Or wild animal. Okay,
they have a huge thorny acacia.
Thorny acacia, yeah. I was going to say, I know they had one at the zoo too, but I don't know if it was that big spiky one, yeah.
I'd have to, I'll have to ask Mike the next time I see
him.
And we got in Commiphora mollis, which you said is, David,
it's related to the myrrh.
To myrrh?
Yes.
Oh.
No.
As in?
The gift?
Frankincense and, yes.
I had gone to one of the souks, the markets in the Persian Gulf once to purchase frankincense, myrrh, and gold to give as Christmas gifts. And it took a lot of effort to find it, even though that's where we think we get it. It's challenging, but I finally found it.
Interesting.
Well, I found frankincense on Amazon.
Yeah. Well, I was in the Middle East. I figured it would be a great place to do it, right? But I ended up getting myrrh and frankincense and little gold.
But back when he was peddling across the ocean, Amazon didn't exist yet. So
Bezos
it was a different time.
That for you.
Yeah, frankincense, that's an interesting commodity from over there.
Yep.
And because it's basically the hardened sap of
it's a resin.
The resin of a, I used to know the name of the plant. I can't think of it now, but they would just scrape the bark on it and it would start to bleed and it would form these little droplets, and then the droplets would harden off into resin, and then they'd just go and scrape the droplets. It's called tears of frankincense.
Another thing I didn't know.
Yeah.
So I mispronounced it. I was calling it commiphora, but it's commiphora.
Commiphora.
And then myrrh, commiphora myrrha is the myrrh.
Okay, but we got mollus.
We got mollus, which is its cousin.
It's his cousin.
Okay. Yes.
On his mother's side, or do you
know? I was going to say.
Twice removed.
Once or twice, twice removed.
That's interesting stuff.
Yeah.
There's still some plant people in the nursery business.
That is true.
And it makes a huge difference.
I was watching a documentary one time. They were talking about the trading routes over in
the Middle East,
East trading routes, the Silk Road. Okay. There's sections of it that you can actually still see today
by satellite,
or
really?
From space, where it has just been traveled for so many years that it's just permanently
etched
into the surface of the landscape.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah, I thought that I just thought that was fascinating. That could happen. Yeah.
Lines and yes.
Yeah, pretty interesting. George, your Wednesday wisdom this week. You had a interesting situation in your garden.
Correct. Yeah. In this week's Wednesday wisdom was on pill bugs and sow bugs, and what brought it to my attention was one of looking in my carrot bed to harvest some carrots. One of the tops was just decimated. Not the greenery, but the top of the carrot itself, the orange piece. And when I brushed...
Coyotes again?
This time, no. It was pill bugs. And there were, in the photo, there must have been, 15 or 20pill bugs in the
bed. Invasion of
them. Yeah, just all over it, eating it. And then so I moved a bunch of the straw that I have in the beds, and they were just covered with pill bugs eating the tops of the carrots.
I've had a couple customers this week come in and say the same, ask... You know, because they've had pill bugs and taking care of their strawberries or whatever it is.
It's one of those double-edged swords. They're great for decomposing, so they're very useful in a compost bin or parts of your garden where you have a lot of mulch. But they also eat tender and, in this case, carrots.
Well, you know how you could fix that.
You can't. You put them in a jar and have them fight each other. What do you do? No,
not the battle of the pill bugs.
Okay, what do you do?
Let your chickens loose in your
carrot. That's true.
Garden, and they will get rid of all of those pill bugs.
They do.
For
they
you.
Love that in my other garden.
And can't imagine there'd be any consequences.
Yeah, well, they won't eat
the foliage. Only
they'll destroy everything
in the garden. But there will be no more pill bugs.
That is correct. That was sarcastic.
It's the nuclear option for your garden.
Actually, that's a great analogy. Yes.
It is. I've had them, they get into my asparagus bed in particular, and they just kick up every bit of soil out of the asparagus bed till the roots are exposed and drying.
They remove all of the mulch. They remove all of the sow bugs. They'll get any of the
earwigs are gone.
Everything they can get their beaks on.
So here's another option if you want to keep your
plant. If you don't want the nuclear.
If you want to keep your plant, Sluggo Plus works well for this because the Sluggo itself is iron phosphate, which kills snails and slugs, but the Plus is spinosad, which takes care of pill bugs, sow bugs, earwigs, cutworms.
And it doesn't hurt anything.
It's organic.
As far as
right.
Animals. And
now, can't we just use our regular Captain Jack's and spray that on there?
No, you cannot. You have to have the attractant so they're going to eat it.
And it's formulated differently.
It is, yeah, little pellets.
They have to shut down the production line and change it over to do it for the pellets or something like that.
And I asked John Ford, our rep, and he had mentioned that that it was either yeast or, to me, I don't remember, he told me it was either yeast or wheat, so I can't eat it, that's in it to make the thing more attracting to the critters.
I'm glad you said that, because people ask me if it's safe, and I say yes for people and pets, but I didn't ask them if they had gluten allergies.
Yeah, then yeah, that would be a little
I'll
bit different.
I'll need to, okay, thank you, noted.
It's not gluten-free, apparently.
I was
going to
say, if anybody's eating it, I mean, don't. I mean, just as a rule, I mean.
Yeah, as a rule of thumb, don't do that.
Some things will take care of themselves.
Darwin.
Well, you know, sow bugs or pill bugs, they usually what I see, I don't know that I'd ever seen them go after a carrot like that before, because a carrot's pretty tough. Usually what you see them go after, pansies. They're notorious for just going in and mowing pansies down. And like you said, strawberries.
Strawberries,
that's what I usually recommend people that are, if you're growing strawberries in the ground, put a sheet of plastic down so that, to kind of protect them from soil-borne insects. Earwigs too. The biggest thing that I've seen, the biggest problem I've seen with earwigs is if you grow artichokes, they love artichokes.
They do.
And they artichokes. Would, and yes. once they get into the flower head of an artichoke, there's not much you can do.
Salt water. You soak them in salt water.
I ate my first Dapple Supreme Pluot off a new tree, which I did actually plant last summer, and it had the hollow. It had opened up, so the pit was exposed, and I ate around that, and then I didn't realize there was a bunch of earwigs in the hollow. So I took the pit and gave it to the chickens, and they were very happy.
They can eat it. They can eat the pit of a...
Well, they were going after the earwigs.
It was open. Yeah. So
they're going to go.
They're mean. Well, not mean. They're voracious.
Oh, they're mean.
And they take their claws, their feet, and claw away everything in their path. They destroy everything.
They are fun to watch. Grasshoppers, when grasshoppers fly through, they leap and fight each other to get the grasshopper out of the air. And the big fig beetles, the big green beetles.
My parents had a rooster one time when I was much younger, and that bird hated me. It absolutely hated me. My dad could go out in the backyard. My sister could go out in the backyard, and the rooster wouldn't do anything. I'd walk out the back door. That thing would run across the yard to come and attack.
Scare the hell out of you.
Yeah, it would just sit there and kick my ankles. I mean,
sorry about that.
That is, hens are not that way, but roosters can be very aggressive and territorial.
Yeah, it was. I don't know what I ever did to it.
My neighbors just gave me. They had some eggs that they have hatched, and one of them, they already have a rooster, hence eggs hatching. But they gave me an extra rooster. And so it's young, and it's now incorporated with my flock. And every night when it's roosting, I go pet him to maybe he won't be mean.
Won't be so
and have
mean.
To go to the cleaners eventually. Try and keep him as a pet.
You're listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. If you want to give us a call, 888-344-1170 is the number. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to be back with more right after this.
Get your gardening questions answered by calling 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. There is more Garden Talk on the way. Welcome back to Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery. Got a gardening question? Call 888-344-1170. 888-344-1170. Now, here's your hosts, Ken Anderson, David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
Got to the garden party, they all knew my name. No one recognized me, I didn't look the same. But it's all right now, I learned my lesson well. You see, you can't please everyone, so you
got to please yourself.
And we're back with more Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. I'm Ken Anderson along with David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman. Try not to sneeze.
You know, I just remembered I was bad-mouthing my sister earlier, which I like to do, about planting during the moon. I think, if I recall correctly, she told me she was planting during the full moon during the full moon, not during the cycle of the full moon. But
so like at 9:30 at night or something?
Yeah, you have to plant them during the full moon or some such silliness in October. I don't know if this is accurate or just how I remember it from many, many moons ago, but we'll find out. Now you may sneeze. And
I think I'm okay now.
You okay?
You know, we were talking about the sow bugs and stuff. The best product to control them, I think, it's Sluggo Plus.
The Plus, right.
The
right.
Plus one.
Right. Not the regular.
Not the regular right. Sluggo.
Because the regular Sluggo won't do anything for them.
No.
Just snails and slugs.
It'll take care of snails and slugs. And, speaking of snails and slugs, it was a few months ago. I'm trying to remember if somebody brought something in or brought a picture of
the decollete
snail. It was mowing on somebody's plant.
Right.
And that was one of the things that we've always said is that one of the reasons why we don't recommend them.
The good, theoretically, they're the good snails. I mean, in our world.
Yeah, they'll go after brown snails.
Right.
But they won't go. They don't eat the adults. They only eat the young snails or the eggs. And once they're gone, then they'll start feeding on plants.
They have a varied diet. So yeah, they're carnivorous as well as
they'll
eat their vegetarian fare.
So they'd be like them. They're omnivores.
That's right.
And then the other problem too is because they won't eat adult brown snails. If you don't get rid of the brown snails before you put the decollete snails out, you're still going to have brown snail damage because they're going to be eating it. Can you hold your bottle a little closer to the microphone?
Sorry.
Is that what that was?
If you put any kind of bait out to get rid of the brown snails, you're going to get rid of your decollete snails too.
Right.
So the solution goes back to chickens because they also eat a lot of snails.
Yeah. And slugs.
Yeah. So if you're having
Garden Talk brought to you by Chicken Controls.
If you're having issues, Sluggo Plus is great.
Yes.
And if you don't have the crawling insect issue, Sluggo
works really well. Yes.
And it covers a big area, too.
With a thousand square feet
to the pound.
Yeah.
So you don't need a lot of it. And it
lasts, depending on your watering habits, it probably lasts about 2 weeks out there before it starts dissolving away.
It's good stuff. Yeah. It's a really good product. And then earlier in the month, you did an article about native shrubs for your yard.
I did. We can get to that.
Oh, that's true. We can do that when we come back. We're going to go up to Escondido where Dennis is waiting. Good morning, Dennis. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing well. I have a covered patio, and it's stamped concrete, kind of a tan color. And I've got potted plants on there. And I guess I messed up by not using the saucers underneath them. And now I've got all kinds of staining going on. So the thing that I'm, two questions. First of all, how do you get all the stains off your concrete from watering your potted plants and them leaking on the ground, on the concrete? And then I guess I should go back to using saucers. And if you put, as the water drains into the saucer, can you leave that and it sucks back up into the plant again?
You can do that.
Yeah,
but we don't want to do that.
Yeah, if you have saucers, you probably should lift the pot up a bit, you know, put pot feet or something underneath them to try to, so that the water doesn't suck back up into the pot. You want them to dry out. You want airflow under there to.
You may not even need saucers if you put pot feet under the
correct.
Pot.
Correct. That's a good point. But you just still to get the raise staining, the, though. Yeah.
You get some of the staining, but it's not going to be as localized because the base of the pot's not going to be sitting on the concrete itself. I think in the case of a saucer, if you put the saucer underneath of it, if the water overflows out from underneath the saucer, you're going to have the same situation with the concrete because the water is going to get under the saucer and do the same thing. So I think just putting some pot feed or just something, some kind of a spacer to get the bottom of the pot off of the concrete, I think would help
minimize the staining.
But I think you're still going to have some one way or the other as far as cleaning,
power washer,
power washing, or just scrubbing with a really coarse stiff brush.
Yeah. I think there are some concrete cleaners that you can purchase, like at the big box stores.
I would be curious. Go ahead.
I don't know any of them.
I've tried the 35% vinegar with a stiff scrub brush, but that doesn't seem to touch it at all.
I'd try a power washer.
I was gonna say, I'd try a power washer then.
Okay.
You should be able to rent one of those from one of the tool rental companies here in town.
Okay. Squirrels. I have four squirrelinators, and I've tried everything under the sun. Sometimes some things work, and then the next time it doesn't work. What do you think is the best bait to put in a squirrelinator?
I think rotating it, because sometimes things work and sometimes they don't. I put fresh fruit, citrus, into my squirrelinator last week, and I that same day caught two squirrels, and I've gotten none since.
And I've used bird seed with great success, and nuts like walnuts.
Bird seed.
Yep.
Yeah, I've used chicken food too, but sometimes they are attracted to it, sometimes not.
And so mixing it up is your best bet.
I had
one
of our vendors was making a delivery the other day, and we were talking about rabbits. And I know it's not a squirrel, but he said his go-to bait when he's trying to trap rabbits is apples. And he'll just take an apple and slice it up and throw it in the have a heart trap. And he said it gets them every time. So he might get that.
I haven't tried apples.
I've used apples as well. Yeah. That works.
Yeah, I'd give that a shot.
Okay. All right. Very good. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you very much for the call. Have a great weekend.
I've done apples in the have a heart, and then I ran a nail through the core of it to hold the apple into place so that they would have to fight with the apple to get it out, and it was pretty successful. I have not used an apple in my squirrelinator, though.
I've thrown everything in that squirrelinator, chicken food, walnuts, apples, oranges.
I was going to say peanuts would probably work, too.
Yeah. Peanuts probably, yeah. Slices of bread have worked as well.
Mary was giving them an hors d'oeuvre. It was like a cracker with a slice of apple and
glass of champagne beside it.
Yeah,
peanut butter on top of that. But I don't think she was successful. I suggested trying citrus,
something a little simpler.
I know when
is that where you're going with that?
Exactly.
When my former in-laws had their cabin up in Idlewild, we used to take bags of peanuts up there, and the squirrels would just mow on them. We'd set them on the railing on the deck, and they'd come down out of the pine trees and
when my kids were young, we were up at Yosemite at one of the cabins at Yosemite, and I remember Jacqueline sitting on the step of the cabin. She must have been between 5 and 8 years old, and she was eating an apple, and a squirrel came and swiped her apple. Squirrel took apple. We still make jokes about that to this day. She was very sad that the squirrel came and took her apple.
Well, I remember up in Idlewild, the squirrel, we'd go out on the deck, and the squirrels would get ticked off, and if you were outside sometimes, and they'd sit up in the pine trees and they'd throw pine cones at you. I mean, they were somewhat aggressive.
The roosters.
Maybe it's you, Ken.
Maybe it's just me.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah. You gotta watch out having a squirrel whip a pine cone at you. Not fun. You're listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. If you want to give us a call, 888-344-1170 is the number. Patty and Rose, stay on the line. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to be talking to you when we come back right after this.
Get Get your gardening questions answered by calling 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. There is more Garden Talk on the way. Welcome back to Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery. Got a gardening question? Call 888-344-1170. 888-344-1170. Now, here's your hosts, Ken Anderson, David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
When I got to the garden party, they all knew my name. No one recognized me. I didn't look the same, but it's all right now. Learned my lesson well. You see, you can't please everyone, so you got to please yourself.
And we're back.
People came from
my with more Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. I'm Ken Anderson along with David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman. We're going to go back to the phones, and we're going to head up to Escondido where Rose is waiting. Good morning, Rose. How are you?
Oh, good morning. I'm doing well. Thank you so much for asking. And how are you?
We're doing well. We're doing well.
Good morning.
Good morning. Well, it sounds like my brother's having some false memories, and I can help you for a low price here.
Okay. So, what is the reality of your planting by the full moon or whatever it was?
Well, I don't know where that came from, but what I do know is that we planted some 10, 15 onions at one point, or garlic. I think they were onions from Texas. And they had to be planted on the 15th of October. Does that ring a bell?
Well, you do plant the sweet onions, the short day sweet onions in the fall. But this was something when you were away at school and you were up in Fortuna or Ferndale or something in the valley up there. And you had to plant your potatoes, I thought, maybe it was onions, under the full moon. That doesn't ring a bell with you?
I think you might have been confusing that with the big summer solstice gala where, you know, we plant certain things and dance in the moonlight. But I do not remember it having to do with potatoes because they grow so well in the Northwest that it doesn't matter when you grow them, they grow just fine.
Okay.
But,
well, thank you for ruining one of my fonder memories. I appreciate that. I guess turnabout is fair play.
That's okay, but I do have a recommendation for the gentleman having the problem with the staining on the concrete.
Yes.
Well, I would recommend porch and garage paint and just paint over the discoloration because I don't think power washing is going to get rid of those stains.
Okay.
And porch and garage paint will do wonders on your concrete.
All right. Good to know.
Thanks, Jennifer. I mean, Rose.
It sounds like Rose has welcome. Stock in a paint company.
Sounds like. Thanks very much.
I have a
much.
Lot of helpful hints.
Well,
they call me Helpful Hannah at times also.
Yes, we do.
Okay, any other dispelling rumors we need to dispel at this time?
No. After you get off the air, I'm going to say on the air that I disagree still with your recollections, but we don't need
well,
to
that's
do
okay.
that right
you
now.
Are the older, less memory-filled brother. So,
or sister.
I'm younger, so my brain cells are a little bit more accurate, but I'm here to dispel any of these
you
rumors.
You spent much more time up in Humboldt than I did, so let's not go.
Well, and why was that?
All right. Thanks very much for the call, Rose.
Thank you so much for all that you do.
Thank you. Thanks for the call. Have a great weekend.
Thank you. You too.
Okay. Take care. Let's see. Oh, we're going to go.
Let's help sleep.
Let's go talk to Patty in Indiana. Good morning, Patty. How are you?
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Anytime.
I've tried many times. It's a busy line. That's good, right?
Yes, it is. What can we do for you today?
Okay, well, my issue is sleep. 2 years ago, I had a sister pass away, and there were some major issues between the six sisters, and I think a lot of it was stress. 8 months later, my brother passed away.
Oh, no.
And then a year later, my dad passed away. So I have had major, major sleep issues since all of that, and I think a lot of it was due to stress. But I have to do something. I can't continue like this. It's like major insomnia. I can't, if I sleep, it might be like one or two nights a week. I did do a hormone test. My estrogen, my progesterone, testosterone was all very, very low.
Well, there are some plants that you can plant that are purported to help with sleep. I think one of the most common ones that comes up is lavender.
That's the one that comes to mind.
Lavender and chamomile.
Yeah, oh, chamomile. I forgot about chamomile.
Chamomile is useful as well.
Chamomile, you mix it. You use it as a tea,
right? Flowers as a tea.
And you can, if you don't want to grow it yourself, it's generally available in supermarkets.
And as long as it's right, not snowing, poppies. Didn't poppies put Dorothy down? Help Dorothy to sleep on her way to Oz.
I don't recall, but yes. I do.
I have tried the lavender and chamomile tea. I've tried that many, many times.
Oh, also lavender water. You can use lavender water because
at the
lavender farm that used to be up in Fallbrook. I don't know if it's still there anymore. But they would sell lavender water, and they would say that if you just mist your pillow at night before you go to bed, then you have some of the essential oil and the fragrance of the lavender on your pillow, and that helps. That can help you sleep as well.
And I've heard that hops. Some people put hops into their pillows to help them.
Put sleep. What?
Hops. That used in brewing.
Brewing and beer.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah,
gotcha.
Abraham Lincoln and King George III used hops in their pillow to help them sleep.
Really?
Yep.
Where did you find that one?
When I was doing the class on fruit and vegetable lore.
Huh. Yeah.
And he retained it. That's
how are you spelling that?
H-O-P-S.
Okay. That's what I thought. All right. Well, thank you. I'll research that. Maybe I can try that.
You know, you're welcome.
Good luck with that. Hope you can find something that helps you out.
Thank you.
Okay. Have a great weekend.
You know,
you too. Bye-bye.
Thanks.
Some of my best nights sleeping come after a vigorous work. No, not well, hops. Yeah. Yeah, that's in a different form. But from a hard day's work in the garden, I'm exhausted and want to sleep. And maybe some hops help with that whole process.
Yeah,
it's funny, when I was looking up things for helping sleep, do you know what citrus came up as a possible sleep aid?
No.
Bergamot.
Oh.
Twice in one show we mentioned bergamot. How does that happen?
That isn't a little strange.
It is. Well, so is David.
That's a good point. But
on the different side, for sure.
Right.
Let's see. We're going to head out to Point Loma, where Karen is waiting. Good morning, Karen. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. And I hear that you're good, too.
Yes, we are.
Yes, we are.
Okay. My question is back on the squirrels. I know the squirrelinator works for the ground squirrels, but the red squirrels are higher off the ground, you know, the bodies. I don't think that they will go in that squirrelinator, because we're having lots of troubles with the red fox squirrel.
Yeah, I don't.
I am not.
I have no answer for that one. I don't.
Maybe a regular have a heart trap.
Maybe
because they're bigger.
One of the small have a heart traps.
Yes, because it has a higher ceiling to them. But with the other squirrels, they are bigger than they appear. I mean, you know, they're smaller than they appear. Oh. Their fur makes them look much larger, like they wouldn't fit into a small space.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think that's as far as I'm going to go on that.
Yeah,
there are some smaller have a heart traps that are maybe 6 inches square.
Yeah,
and by 14 inches long
with a bigger opening to them.
Yeah, with a bigger opening. So something like that they're designed for rabbits.
Correct.
So something like that, you may be able, if you're having a problem with a larger squirrel, that you may be able to get them in that.
Yeah, they're pretty smart little critters.
Yes, they are.
Yeah.
And they're so
part
cute.
Part of the problem, yes.
Yeah. But they eat.
Yes.
All of our, we have two big macadamia nut trees.
Oh, yeah.
Them and the
rats. We haven't had any for 3 years.
Oh, that is a problem.
Yeah, that makes it
tough. And it amazes me that they can chew through
the shell
those, given how hard they are.
No, I hear you.
Right.
Yeah, so trapping in them, and then, you know, you can't release them. I mean, you can't take them somewhere else, so you have to do something with them once you trap them.
Well, they say you can shoot them or you can drown them.
Well, drowning is illegal in California now, so you have to euthanize them
really?
By shooting them and or using a gas.
Well, if she's in Point Loma, I don't think there's any places where she can shoot them either, legally.
Yeah, I mean, pellet guns.
But no.
No, pellets are...
Oh, in Point Loma, okay. So
even at my house, pellet
guns
are not...
So then you have to gas them, according to the California Fish and Game.
Got to do what you got to do.
Yeah, you take care of them how you need to. Yeah, we're not... Like,
I don't know the laws.
Not suggesting anything there.
Yeah. It's like...
Right. Go out, we won't discuss that.
Okay, now on a totally separate note.
Thank you.
Thank you for the call, Karen. Thanks. Have a great weekend.
I just got a text from my sister saying, oh my gosh, you might be right. It was the town of Mad River, organic hippies we were planting during the summer solstice.
Okay.
So you're vindicated.
I am vindicated. And she was strong enough big enough to come forward and say it. Not on the air, but you have to believe me that I do have this text. Mark, would you...
Read
that.
Yes.
And tell me it's.
Well, I'm not going to read it, but I believe.
All right. So, okay. That's all I needed.
And
to
I did
say.
See it.
I'm glad I got that out there.
You've been listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. We'll be back next Saturday morning at 6 o'clock with another hour of Garden Talk. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Thanks for joining us on Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery, your source for gardening, landscaping, and horticulture news. Still have a question for the Garden Talk crew or want to learn more about the show, how to become a guest or sponsor? Send an email to askanexpert@walteranderson.com. That's askanexpert@walteranderson.com or visit walteranderson.com. There's more professional gardening advice next week at this same time on Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery.
This program is sponsored by Walter Anderson Nursery.